Let's give it up for Spectrum, huh? The internet works today. How about that?
I had the Spectrum guy come to my house yesterday.
How'd that go?
He spent an hour and a half, and he upgraded all my stuff. And they said, oh, yeah, you need a new amplifier. You need a new whatever. But I still don't trust it, so I'm at my parents' house again.
Hey, at mom and dad's house. Yeah. I forget. What are your mom and dad's first names?
Jim and Jeanette.
Jim and Jeanette. Jim and Jeanette. By the way, yeah. Jim's got a hobby. Doesn't he have gopher traps all over the yard?
My dad has 17 hobbies. He's an amateur moonshiner.
What does that mean? He makes moonshine?
Oh, yeah, any kind.
Oh, you should bring that to one of my parties.
Oh, yeah, the best one he makes is like this chocolate one. I'm like, oh, puts
nice.
The carob in there. It's really good.
Nice.
Limoncello. He does, he's like a gardener. He's like kind of the neighborhood pest control. Anybody got a gopher problem? I'll take care of it. Like, he's like, he's like that guy.
He's that guy. He's like Bill Murray out there.
Yeah, sometimes my dad just like shows up at my house, and I look outside. I'm like, oh, my dad's here. When'd you get here? He's like, oh, I just thought I'd water your plants. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, it's little known fact. By the way, don't forget lie of the day today. I want to hit that right off the top. It is my lie today. At some point today, I will tell a story that is completely and totally fabricated. And at the end of the show, Lindsay, Jorge, and Ramona will try to figure out what that lie is. Do you know, Momo, that I am the gardener at our house?
I get that, yeah.
I go over to Armstrong Garden Center over on Wilshire the time. And, you know, I bought a bunch of stuff because my mom and not stepdad Leo are coming for Labor Day weekend. What do you got coming up for the big weekend?
Same thing I do every weekend.
Which is?
my brother and sister-in-law come over with their son and we swim in the pool. We eat some food. Sometimes I cook. Sometimes I just post-made it. Chilling out.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Just, you know, float in the pool.
It's a big deal. So I'm in the middle of this golf challenge thing, right?
I still have faith in you.
And going back to the range this afternoon. Mm-hmm. By the way, starting to get recognized a lot at the range. It's like, hey, Mason, how's it coming? I'm like, well, don't come look at me swing. I'll tell you that much. Stay out of my stall. So here's the I'm going to go out and golf with not stepdad Leo on Saturday.
Oh,
he's like apparently got a little golf game going on.
Yeah, you know, old people do, right? And that sort of.
But you know, Leo's 80.
Yeah.
And playing around a golf.
It might make you feel worse. If
you
he's
know
better
what?
Than you.
This could backfire on me. Totally, absolutely right. All right, so by the way, I was going to mention this too. So I, you know, my weight is a total roller coaster moment.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've been following
this
at home, if you've been scoring at home, as old-time baseball announcers would say, I started the pandemic at 190.
Yep.
I went up to 217.
Yep.
I got down to 189.
Good.
I went back up to 214.
Got it.
And now I am back at 205. So
good
I'm back in play. Back in play.
You know, there's always that number, like when you see it, it sounds like for you, it's somewhere around 215. And that's when you go, okay, enough.
I'm like, okay, let's get serious. 215 is too big.
That's too big.
Too fat. Yeah. Yep. It's not body shaming when I say it about myself, by the way. When
of course,
I say I'm too fat, that's not body shaming.
For me, it's actually when I stop going on the scale. When I'm like, oh, I can just tell
I
don't want to see it. And as soon as I have like 2 or 3 days in a row, of like I'm afraid to go on the scale, I know it's time.
Yeah, I don't even want to get on the scale. So, hey. What a game last night, huh?
Did you see that?
What a game. You know what? In a lot of ways, kind of a perfect baseball game.
It really was.
Dodgers down 2-0 all the way along. All of a sudden, breakthrough. Mookie hits the home run. Eighth inning. Corey Seager comes up with the big clutchy RBI double, and the thing I loved about that is that Mookie went first to home on it.
Yep.
Mookie starting to look healthy.
He looks healthy. He had a procedure on that hip that it seems like it really worked, because I think before this procedure that he did, they were in a place where it was, how much pain can you take? Is it even worth it? Are you just, you know, like a play like that, he would not have been able to do it before he had this procedure, before this latest intervention they did.
Yeah,
he would not have been able to do it, and now he not only did it, but he looked good doing it. And Mace, can we talk about the kid in right field?
Yeah.
The kid in right field, when Mookie Betts catches that home run ball at the wall.
Yep.
And he's on a, you know, he runs 95 yards, full speed. It's in that right field corner where the fence is really low.
Yes.
And there's a kid out there in right field. God bless this kid. He has the presence of mind. Like, the home run is his. All he has to do is stick his glove out.
Yep.
He's in the right field pavilion with his glove. He came to the game to catch that home run ball. And he sees Mookie, and he sees the ball, and he backs away from it, and he lets Mookie catch the ball.
He is no Steve Bartman.
What a hero. Whoever raised that kid, you raised him right. I don't know who the kid – I don't like to, like, ask social media to tell me who the kid is, but if, like, that's your kid, tell me who it is.
Good for you. Absolutely. Good for you. So, glove to the game. You know, he brought his glove to the game. Do you ever bring a baseball glove to a game?
I used to. Every time I would go to a game, I used to bring a glove. I would,
until
I,
what point? Until you were 11?
No, about 3 years ago.
Really? 3 years ago?
Yeah.
We've got a laugh track today.
Yeah, I still used to do it until, like, well into my adult years. Well into it.
Now, I've been to a game with Jorge. Jorge, you did not bring a glove. Do you ever bring one?
No, I've never brought one, but I wanted to bring one because you said right field pavilions, and we were
right
up in the lights, man.
We ended up right field upper deck. I know you're still complaining about this.
No,
cities.
I'm not complaining. Remember, I wasn't the one complaining. Everybody else was complaining.
Everybody else
except
was,
me.
Yeah.
I said thank
no,
you.
No, they were fine seats, but I promised right field pavilion. We didn't get right. Next week, you know what? Is it going to be next week? Next week's a busy week. Maybe week after next, we're going to do Mason takes – listener to local baseball game.
September 15th, Fernando Valenzuela bobblehead night.
Oh.
That's a perfect day.
September 15th.
Oh, I'll be back in town.
Oh, there you go. See?
Lindsay can go.
We should all go together.
That is perfect. Yeah, we will do that. We will do that. But you're right. Yesterday we talked about in this hypothetical world, if the Dodgers have a choice to give Corey Seager a long-term contract for $250 million, or Cody Bellinger a long-term contract for $250 million. Let's just say it's donuts to donuts. I don't even know if that's an expression. Donuts to donuts? Is
sounds
that an expression?
Good.
Yeah. Donuts to donuts. You know, I think there's no question, and last night was a really good example, that Corey Seager gets that money. Corey Seager is, I think, our clutchiest hitter. Now, we've got guys that come through all the time. Muncy comes through.
Good.
Turner comes through. Both Turners come through, all that stuff. But I'm telling you, when the moment is big, and when that was a critical moment, eighth inning, Corey Seager delivers. You would obviously go Seager over Cody Bellinger, right?
Well, I don't know if it's donuts to donuts, and I'm having a loose interpretation of your metaphor that you just came up with. But I don't think it's like, oh, okay, we have $200 million to give to one of them. I think it's like Corey would want probably somewhere in the threes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Cody is in the same ballpark.
Correct.
2 years ago he would have been. So it's like we might have 400 donuts and it'd be
like
301.
By the way, somebody tweet me. There is an expression, but it's not donuts
dollars
to donuts. Somebody tweet me.
Something.
Is it dollars to donuts?
Something like that. I know what you're going for. I think you're saying essentially we only have a fixed number of donuts, right?
Yeah, as long as you know what I'm saying, I guess it's right. If you know the actual expression, tweet me at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, another example of Mace being stupid. And can we give
it
up for Kent?
No, stupid. Yeah, no, you're
just
creative.
Slow.
You're creative. You just made something up.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, donuts to donuts. Let's give it up for Kenley Jansen, huh? Kenley Jansen, 1-2-3 ninth inning.
Filthy
30
too.
Saves now.
What did you say he was going to have? 35?
35. I put $10,000 mythical dollars at the beginning of the season on Kenley having 35 saves. He has now given up just one run in his last nine appearances, and he is 9-for-9 in his last nine save opportunities.
So I don't like to
play. Kenley is on a roll.
I don't like to play the game where I go, see, didn't I tell you that a couple weeks ago? I don't like to play that game, okay? Because
it
makes me seem smug and annoying.
I am smug. Yeah, I am annoying.
But like Kenley is when we had Andrew Friedman on, you and me had him on. Okay.
Yes.
What do we say? He's a big guy. Sometimes he gets a little out of whack because his arm will be moving a little farther than his leg and he's just out of rhythm. He just needs to get all the moving parts back in line because when you're 6'5" or something?
Yeah. I mean, I've stood with Kenley. He's probably 6'5". Yeah.
Yeah. He's a big dude. And like, if your front shoulder's opening up just a little bit early or you're front arm is, I mean, it's just a lot
or your release point changes a little bit. I mean, all those things, when you're a big guy, when you're a tall guy, there are more ways for it to go wrong. Like, I mean, to bring it back to golf, you know, the taller you are, I think it is the harder to hit your clubs because there are more ways to go wrong in that swing, just the same way with Kenley. If you're out of sync just a little bit, it makes a difference. But I'm seeing velocity from Kenley. The slider looks really good from Kenley. The cutter is still totally solid. And the two-seamer, he's hitting 94, 95. Earlier this season, I think he was hitting a little more. But hitting 94, 95 on the two-seamer. I mean, Kenley Jansen, I think, is going to have an impact, not just in September, but in the postseason this year, the way he's pitching.
Yeah. I mean, but, it's he has the mental makeup to handle this. Like, he's been through so much in his career as a closer. Like, that's why I always just get back to, like, he may not have the filthy stuff like he used to. Like, I think Trinan probably has better stuff right now. You think Trinan has better stuff, just flat out
natural
nasty
stuff? Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. You want your guy with his absolute best stuff to be your guy that comes in the seventh inning with two on or eighth inning with a runner on.
That's where he was last night.
That's where he was.
In the eighth inning. And it was
perfect
the second night in a
guy.
Row. Second night in a row that – so Trinan closed on Monday night.
Shakily.
And he was – yep, shakily. Is that a word? Yeah.
Let's go with it.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is now.
he closed on Monday night, got it done in a Kenley-esque type save, and then pitched again on a back-to-back. And I actually thought he was better last night. He looked better. He can go back-to-back now. He can go two games in a row. And then Kenley comes in. He was filthy. I thought Kenley was really good at mixing his pitches. He was not all about the cutter.
No, he was working that slider pretty hard.
Slider. He was throwing the two-seamer.
His slider is almost like a curveball, too.
Yeah, it comes in at like 83 or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I always thought if I could choose, when I was a little kid, I always thought, probably nobody else has this thought. Hey, if you could be anything in sports, what would you be? And for me, I always wanted to be the closer.
Oh,
always
wow.
wanted to be the closer. And so the guys I admired were like Dan Quisenberry and Kent Tekulve. So I was the one kid in Little League who threw submarine. And I loved it because nobody else was doing it. Hitters had never seen it. And honestly, it's better for your arm to throw that way. But I always think that charge that you get going into the end of a game, knowing that it's all on the line and it's all on you and you complete the save, I always thought that was like the coolest job in sports. Other people would say other stuff. What do you think of the coolest job in sports?
I should not handle that job. I'm telling you, I tried to be a pitcher and I took lessons and everything. I don't have the mental makeup to do it. It's too much for me. Like, I would much rather be out in the field. I'd much rather be as a hitter, make my bones as a hitter. Like, as an outfielder. Like, being a pitcher is you on an island. Everything is on your shoulders and there's nowhere to run. Like, maybe it's the difference. You're a really good lead on the radio. You like being the guy.
Yes, I do.
Like, leading the show. You like running climbing the hill and
exactly.
I'm along for the ride, right?
That's me. That's me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm riding shotgun, okay?
And we're only at the bottom of the hill right now. At the bottom of the hill. But we are going to climb, people. We are going to climb. And I've got a hypothetical question for you. So right now we're a half game back of the Giants. And I think we could very well slide into first place tonight. The Giants have lost 4 out of 5. The Dodgers are on a roll right now. We've got Max Scherzer going tonight. I have a feeling that when we go back on the air tomorrow, we are going to be in first place in the National League West for the first time in April.
Wow.
So that would make, potentially, the Padres and the Giants, Padres are tied for the second wild card right now, the Giants and the Padres as the two wild card teams.
Hmm.
So here's the question. Would you rather play the Giants or the Padres? In other words, who do you want to
win that game,
win that series, to win that one game playoff? Do you want the Padres, who I think are, you know, I'm less scared of the Padres. We just swept them, you know, we just swept them. Or the Giants, who've been spectacular all year long, and even if we take over first place, they're still potentially going to be a 100-win team.
Yeah.
So they're better, but they are our ultimate rivals, right? The Giants are our ultimate rivals.
You got it.
Difficult phrase.
You
difficult
stuck
phrase.
The landing. Yeah.
Yes.
It was a shaky routine, balancing the balance beam, but you stuck the landing.
So think about this. Who would you rather play, the Padres or the Giants? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We've got Wheel of Questions coming up for you in about 15 minutes. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lindsay just asked me a question off the air. Would I ever do, because Central America, you can do ayahuasca ceremonies. Uh-huh. Mexico, middle, you know, ayahuasca is like a big thing. And Lindsay, you would do an ayahuasca ceremony?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm looking to do one. I want to do one, but, you know, you got to go to these, fly to other countries, and they're expensive, and you got to make sure the place is legit, and, like, the shaman's legit.
But the first thing you do is throw up. I don't want to do anything where the first thing I do is throw up.
You're purging your ego and all of the bad stuff.
No, I'm just throwing up lunch.
No, because you're supposed to fast for like 2 days beforehand.
What am I supposed to get out of an ayahuasca ceremony?
Mace, I know dozens of people who have done it and it's completely changed their lives.
Like how?
Because the psychedelic, the active ingredients in ayahuasca... It's a psychedelic that you basically, you go on a trip, you know, you're tripping and...
So what, it's like LSD?
No, it's not. It's a lot more intense than that, and it lasts a lot longer, and it's supposed to be a very deeply spiritual experience where there's people who are, you know, drug addicts for years who overcome addiction after they go on their ayahuasca trip. There's people who... You know, they're having relationship issues and or whatever the case is. And all of a sudden they come out of that and they realize, oh, this person's not for me.
Here's my advice for the day. Stick with shrooms. Stick with shrooms if you want psychedelic. All right. So we're just talking about, you know, in the case of the Dodgers, it's possible that the wild card game will now be the Giants versus the Padres. And, of course, the Giants are our long-term rival, right? We go back years and years and years with the Giants. We hate them, the evil hated Giants. The Padres are kind of, they're kind of chippy. They're like the new team on the block. Like, golly gee, we're the Padres.
Yeah, perfect.
We've got a cute song. We've got a young ball club. Yeah, I mean, to me, the Padres are the easier opponent. But as a fan, do you want the easier opponent or do you want the historic rival opponent? 877-710-ESPN. Momo, what is your answer to that?
That's a really good question. I think that you want – there's nothing better than sending your hated rival home. There's nothing better.
Yes.
So I think I would want if you're the – I think you want the Giants. Yeah. I mean, I just think that is such a, but I don't know. I don't know how much these guys
give
care about
me
that.
Easy. I want the easiest path to the World Series. I am no dummy. The Giants are really good and are probably going to win 100 games. So give me the Padres who have scuffled at times and are just going to, if they do surpass the Reds, are just going to skate into the playoffs by, you know, a game or two. I want the easier opponent. Do you agree? Do you want the Giants or the easier opponent? Let's go to Robert and Bellflower. Robert, you're on 710. What's up, man?
What's up, man? Right here. Watching the Dodgers win last night was great.
Yep.
But whoever we get, the champs don't run from nobody. San Diego's the little brother, you know. They ain't going to beat us. We'll take them out. San Francisco is the rival. We got this. We're the Dodgers. This is a chance.
So you don't care either way. Just bring it on, basically.
A champ doesn't run from nobody.
All right. I think that's a good point. Robert, thank you very much. That's a great attitude. Yes, I still want the easier opponent. Let's go to Austin in L.A. Austin, you're on – I guess actually Austin is in San Diego. Austin, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? No, I'm from L.A., but I live in San Diego. I would love for it to be the Padres because I get so much crap living down here anyway, and I just I love the rivalry. And they're just so smug. You know, they've given up on their team. So I would just love for the Dodgers to take it to them.
What rivalry?
Yeah. Go ahead.
FYI, I was at Kobe's last game, and I saw John Ireland walking across the street one time, and he said, "Sup, bro." And I've always wanted to say that. So thanks.
Sup, bro. Sup, bro. That is so Ireland. Sup, bro. Thank you, Austin. I question whether or not John Ireland has sup, bro in his category. Do you think?
Yes, he definitely does.
Vocabulary, sup, bro. By the way, I still say Kobe's game, last game was like one of the great sporting events I've ever been at. It's certainly top three. It was crazy.
Can you imagine being one of the national media who had to choose between watching Kobe's last game or the Warriors going for 73 that night, and you choose the Warriors?
Oh.
There were people who did that.
Yeah, no.
Ooh.
That was just an I got to do post-game on that. We got to talk to a lot of celebrities and a lot of fans after the game. I was inside Staples Center for the whole thing. It was unbelievable. Let's go to Anthony in Walnut. Anthony, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
No, headed to football practice right now.
Nice. Are you a coach?
I play college football at Mount Sac.
Nice.
Oh, nice, man.
Bounties. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather face the Giants. So the Padres are like a little sneaky team where they could just get hot at any second and all things fire off for them.
So you disagree that the Padres are the weaker opponent?
Part of me says, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, I feel like the Padres have more talent. Like, they got Tatis and Machado. And, I mean, they have more big guns than the Giants do.
The Giants are accidentally winning 100 games.
Almost threw a no-hitter yesterday.
Yeah, Blake Snell was good.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that. Hey, Anthony, have a good practice, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Drew in Inglewood. Drew, you're on 710. Hey, man, what's up?
Well, I feel like I agree with the last caller because I feel like you give them one game, you give the Padres one game, they'll become super team.
You think
just so? Just one game. So
I don't see it. Like, are you scared of Yu Darvish?
No. See, they have another pitcher, but I'm just saying, Yu Darvish, no. But anybody else, they'll get hot. I really feel like their bats will get hot if you give them one game.
So you're not afraid of the Giants. You think the Giants are the easier of the two opponents?
Yes.
Yeah, I just
I also would think if we were to do the wild card, there's a chance that we might end up playing both.
Hey, let's not do the wild card. Let's not even use the word. Let's not even use the words wild card on the show. We're within a half a game. I think we're going to take over that lead, and Monday morning we're going to be up by a couple games. How about that?
I agree too. I mean, I'm hoping for that, but I'm just saying they could become super team if you give them one game, especially how we've been spanking on them for the past few weeks.
Yeah, we've been killing them. We swept them, yeah. All right, Drew. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I think the Giants have that weird thing, you know, that sometimes happens with a team. Momo, you know this. You played sports.
Yeah.
So isn't there a point where you get hot and you start to believe?
Oh, totally.
You're really, really good, and that leads to more wins. Like, I think that's what happened with the Giants. I think in terms of raw talent, we blow the Giants out of the water. But they got off to a really good start, and then they started to believe, hey, we're really good, we're in this thing, and that belief has carried them to where they are.
Yeah, they have a belief, and they also have that same thing that the Dodgers have. They're kind of built by the same guy, Farhan Zaidi. He's one of Andrew Friedman's lieutenants,
yeah.
Okay. It's this idea of organizational depth. So the thing with the Padres, the thing with the Giants is they have about six or seven outfielders and they just kind of bring them up and send them down and bring them up. When somebody gets hurt, they bring another guy in there. Like, they have the same thing the Dodgers do, where they've been able to withstand a lot of the injuries that I think would have derailed other teams because they have more organizational depth. Like, they have this random guy, Lamonte Wade Jr.
Right.
He was not a prospect or anybody thought. He had 15 home runs for him or something. They called him up, and he's been really good for him. They have another guy, Austin Slater. They have a really good mix of
veterans and because they, you know, especially the old guys. I mean, here's a good example of old guys: Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt and Buster Posey and guys that have been around for a really long time, and they've all risen to the occasion. And then you've got the young guys. Rotation wise, you know, we beat Kevin Gausman, who's their ace. Anthony Desclafani, we beat him. Their starting
Cueto
pitching doesn't scare
one.
Me at all. Johnny Cueto doesn't scare me. Johnny Cueto is, you know, 4.5 ERA guy. So, you know, I think that maybe the Giants are an easier opponent. Maybe I'd rather face Gausman and Desclafani as opposed to Blake Snell and Yu Darvish.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, the Giants are built better for the regular season than the playoffs because they're
built.
They have that depth that carries you through the regular season, and they just kind of ride the hot bat and ride the hot. They have a manager in Gabe Kapler who does exactly what Farhan Zaidi wants him to do in terms of analytics, and they're both very like minded in terms of analytics. Remember, Gabe Kapler was the guy the Dodgers wanted to hire for a little while there.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, he came very, very close. Went to Philly, flamed out, wound up in San Francisco with Farhan Zaidi. They had a relationship. And he's done a great job. Gabe Kapler's done a really good job. It didn't work in Philly for some reason, but he's done a really good job with the Giants. All right, coming up next for you, Wheel of Questions. And
oh, boy.
I have promised that the questions for the rest of the week would be light. Light questions. Not unbelievably serious questions. So we will find out what is on the wheel of questions coming up. Plus, I have been told that there is a promo playing on the radio station right now.
Oh my gosh, Mace.
Where Travis Rogers mocks me.
Mock is a soft word for it.
Oh, okay, good. We'll do that.
I mean,
we'll do that right after
upset
wheel of questions.
For you. I was driving around, almost got out of my car.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet. So we'll play it right after Wheel of Questions coming up, and I will respond to Travis Rogers and whatever the hell he said. You know what my slogan is. Come at me. Come at me, Travis Rogers.
He was cackling at you. Cackling.
Okay, all right. We'll listen to it coming up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I've not heard it. I've not heard this promo that is running on the station that apparently Travis Rogers comes at me. But Chris Morales just texted. Christopher Morales is the guy you hear at the beginning of each segment. He says, "Hey, mister, come at me. You really sure you want to do this bit?" Absolutely. Bring it, dude. I don't care what the promo is. I will respond. Really? Is it that bad?
Yeah, well, he came at you 2 weeks ago when you called him a 67 or whatever you called him.
That's true.
All right, man,
That's right.
Your call.
All right, yep. All right, let's see. Time to spin the wheel of questions. Jorge, let's spin the wheel. Oh, okay. This is actually pretty good. First, I should mention Wheel of Questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, here is the question. What is the worst lie you've ever told? Worst lie you've ever told, Momo?
Worst lie? I have to think about this. Okay, I'm going to tell my embarrassing story.
Good, that's the idea.
When I was about, I don't know, I must have been like junior high-ish or something. My brother and I used to go to the park pool. We would like go to this pool around the corner. My mom would drop us off.
Right.
And then we'd stay at the pool for a couple hours in the summer, and then we'd walk to a nearby McDonald's. And the McDonald's had this like you know, ball pit and play area and stuff like that. And I was a little too big for that kind of stuff, but my brother liked it. So we'd go there and get some McDonald's and jump in the ball pit and all that. And there was this little kid in there. He was probably like 5 or 6. And he kept throwing the balls at me. Like, he kept hitting me in the face with the balls.
Okay.
And I was like, stop. Like, hey, stop throwing the balls at me. And the kid just would do it. Just over and over, he would throw the balls at me. So then I just picked up a ball and threw it at him pretty hard.
Okay.
I'm, you know, a little
seems appropriate.
Too old. Yeah, not really. I mean, I was a little too old to be doing stuff like that. I should just walked away, you know, and just been like, hey, okay. And then the little kid starts crying, and he tells his mom and tells her, oh, she threw the ball at me. And the woman says to me, she goes, did you throw the ball at him? Did you hurt him? And I said, no. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Totally lied. Totally did not cop to it or anything. Nope.
In reality.
No, wasn't me. Wasn't
by
me.
By the way, those little ball things, that little playland at McDonald's, that is never coming back, right?
I don't
Nobody
think
is ever going to let their kids roll around in a bunch of little balls. It just seems like a filthy. I mean, it was always filthy. But even now with COVID, it's probably even worse. Probably even worse.
So we have a ball pit at our house, and it's just Daniel who jumps in it. But then, you know, his little cousin will jump in it and all that. One time I decided, you know, it's been a few months. I bet that thing's pretty dirty. So I took all the balls out, and I looked at the bottom, and I was like, oh, this is gross. Like, you really need to clean those things.
All right, Lindsay, biggest lie you've ever told?
I don't know. I don't really tell big lies.
Oh, come on. There must be a moment.
Not big lies, like little white lies, like, did you take your dog outside yet today? I don't know, stuff like that. It's like my dog pees on the carpet, and my mom's like, ah, oh, why did you take him out? And I say, oh, I just did.
How about the crossbow? We've never seen the picture. That
yeah, what
lie.
About
it's
the
not
crossbow?
A lie. It's not a lie, so I can't, you know, can't cop to anything that's actually true. I don't know, man. I don't really, I can't
Lindsay
think of one.
Lindsay claims to have had a crossbow, and she's promised us many times photos, and we do not have.
No, I said that I don't have the crossbow anymore. You guys can choose to believe me or not. I don't really care. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, that's your biggest lie. All right, Jorge, what about you?
I one time scraped the bumper of my mom's car, and I had told her it was like a shopping cart at the Target or wherever I was that hit the bumper. So, and I ended up with that car later on as I started driving. But, you know, I had that scrape forever in that car until I sold it.
Okay. Lied about the scrape. Lied about the car accident.
Yeah.
So.
I lie a lot about being stuck in traffic when I'm really just late.
Yeah, I believe that.
But I don't even think that counts. Do you think that counts? Everybody just knows that I'm lying on that.
Everybody knows you're late.
Hey, just let be there in 10.
Where are you? Right here off of Olympic.
I'm getting up the freeway.
They call that Ramona Standard Time. So there was a point in my life, this was second grade, where I was hailed as a genius.
Okay.
I was known as the new Robert Frost, the new Bob Frost, who was a big poet back in his day, right? Isn't that right? Robert Frost?
Yeah, that's I mean, or yeah, I mean, you could go Walt Whitman or Robert Frost.
Or a new Walt Whitman, there you go.
Yeah.
So I, for some reason in my little kid head, I decided I'm going to write a poem. And the poem went like, I still remember the poem, clear as day. Nature is beautiful, flowers and trees. Keep nature beautiful, please.
Oh, miss.
How about that? Second
grade. Wait. Let me guess the ending. Did you send it into Highlights magazine?
No, I did not. But
okay.
I later, in a doctor's office, read Highlights magazine.
Okay.
And I tore a page out of the magazine.
Oh.
And there was a poem called Mr. Pollution.
And
I remember how that went. Mr. Pollution, don't you care what you're doing to our air?
Yeah.
And I claimed that I turned in that poem and I claimed it to be my own.
Oh
boy.
And then Linda Karotny. Oh, Linda, I remember you wherever you are now. Linda Karotny announced to the class, he stole that from Highlights magazine.
Oh, no.
I was friggin' in my little kid head, I was horrified. I thought I would never recover from that incident of plagiarism. Thankfully, I did. The first poem reel, the second one, Highlights magazine. So that is my biggest lie in life. It happened
have
when I was second grade.
That? Is this the first time you've ever copped to that?
No, I think I've copped to that before. I probably told that story on the show before. Ooh, so at some point in life. At some point in life. All right, so here we go. Supposedly, actually, we'll do it next. Supposedly, Travis Rogers has taken a shot at me in a promo that has been running on the station. And it is up to me. My slogan is, come at me. It is up to me to respond. Next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Couldn't be more excited about this new lineup. We're going to deliver LA sports like nobody else can. Of course, adding Max to the morning show is going to be fantastic.
I love
it. Keyshawn and Max going at it are going to be – that's just going to be great radio. And then we've got Travis and Slew. So, apparently there's a promo that was created by Chris Morales, who is the ultimate you-know-what stirrer. And he has created a promo from a conversation that happened on the Travis and Sliwa show. Mm-hmm. Now, I have not heard this. Momo has heard it. But you know my slogan, come at me. I'm ready to listen to this. Jorge, play it. Okay, so that's a lot weaker than I thought it was going to be. I'm not taking that one too hard. Yeah, you're right. Travis is kind of cackling.
I just don't care. I'm already on the screen.
I'm already on the screen.
Dude.
I'm Travis Rogers. Ellen Sliwa.
That was a cat. who does a better Travis, me or you?
Mocking him. I don't even know if I'm doing a good job. I'm Travis Rogers.
You weren't upset by that? I was upset for you.
No, I don't care.
Emily was out there instigating.
Who is Emily? She's been in the business 10 minutes.
Emily is like, Steve Mason cares a bit too much.
Yeah, Emily, don't come at me. Don't come at me, please. You don't know what you're doing. You started doing this, 10 minutes ago. You can't play with the big boys yet.
Oh, come on, Mace. Leave Emily alone.
Well, she's the one that started the whole thing.
Oh, I think it's good. I think she was
just, doing her job, and she was posing a question out there for Travis to answer, and he chose to answer it the way that he did.
She was instigating. She was instigating, and he had a choice. He was either going to be humble.
I'm scared.
And what was that?
I'm really scared.
He was either going to be humble and say, like, yeah, I really appreciate being up on the board, and whenever you see your name in lights, it's just such an honor. You could have played it like that.
He could have been magnanimous, right?
Yeah.
Like I am always. I'm always magnanimous.
You always say, I love that show. I listen to it every day.
How many times do I say I love Travis and Sliwa?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
At least 8 times.
Yeah. I mean, I Ask Slee is the highlight of my. Oh, Michael Thompson is here. MT, what's up?
I can understand where Travis is coming from, Momo and Lindsay, because when I think of Steve Mason, you know which baseball player he reminds me of?
Who?
Barry Bonds.
What do you mean? I'm doing this for real. I'm doing this on natural.
No. Barry Bonds separated himself from his teammates because he knew he was the star? That's kind of how you are.
Well, wait a minute. Really? Barry Bonds was the star.
Well, that's what you think of yourself as, right? The star of the show?
Yeah, but Barry Bonds, well, I guess he wasn't really successful. Do you believe Barry Bonds is the home run champ?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do not.
No, I think
he would have got there no matter what.
I think it's Hank Aaron.
Yeah, I still consider it Hank Aaron because he cheated Ramona.
Yeah, he cheated.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Talk about biggest lie of your life. Barry Bonds' career, his late career, was a complete lie.
Mm-hmm. I know, wasn't and then real. He's a jerk about it.
But I'm going to be magnanimous and I'm going to say, Travis, I'm glad you're having fun. I'm glad you're laughing.
And you should take it as a compliment, Mace, because when you're the best, you are a target, right? Everybody targets you.
Correct. And, the other thing is, and I think Christopher Morales has said this, Mason and Ireland is so big, we don't even need that billboard. Right? Nobody's heard of Travis. They're just getting their first show. So Mason and Ireland is a staple in this town.
That's right.
Travis and Sliwa are playing catch up. They got a long way to go.
They need badges. You don't need no badges.
Exactly. MT, what's been going on?
Oh, my goodness, everything, man. Getting ready for the NFL season. Look, enjoying the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
I enjoyed the BM. I cannot stand the U.S. Open.
What?
Every time I turn on, I'm trying to watch What is the show with the three people, highly questionable?
Yeah.
Jalen and Jacoby. I'm trying to watch those shows, and instead I've got U.S. Open tennis on, and I could care less.
Well, it's on like on ESPNU or something like that. You can find it on the other ESPN channels.
Yeah. I'm not Mr. Tennis guy.
Wow.
I don't get.
Don't you understand
tennis.
The history that Novak Djokovic is chasing? Do you know what he's doing? Go, don't tell me you don't know. You're on sports radio. You're supposed to know what the biggest sports story of the season of the year is.
Wait a minute. You think this?
Yes.
Wait a minute. You think this is the biggest? Whatever Djokovic is doing, you think this is the biggest sports story of the year?
It will definitely make him sports person of the year. No question about it. If he pulls it off, you don't know what he's chasing.
He's trying to win every Grand Slam.
Exactly. Hasn't been done since 1969. Rod Laver. And you don't think this is a big deal, Steve Mason?
So wait a minute. So he's already won. Wimbledon,
Australian, Wimbledon,
French,
and the French.
And Australia.
Right. Now he's going for the U.S. Open. It'll
All
be
right,
the first time in like 60 years it's been done.
That's interesting. But I mean, I'm not going to sit and watch tennis.
Wait a minute. If he's in the finals on Sunday and he's like in the third or fourth set, you're not going to tune in to see if he's going to make history? What?
Yeah, I might tune in.
Jeez.
I might tune
if you remember.
No. If I remember, exactly. But, Michael, I'm working on my golf game right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, tell us.
Next Friday.
How's
next
it going?
Friday, me in Ireland. You know, my tempo's a little off. I don't have any length in my game.
What's improved?
My chipping. My
really?
Work around the green
Ooh,
is really good, and I'm a totally
me.
Solid putter.
Oh, that scares me. That's where you score. That's how you score.
Yeah, I just don't have length right now. I don't have length.
How many holes straight have you played? Have you played 18 holes yet?
No, I have not.
So
I've
you're
never
just going
played
nine.
On a big bike, a big boy course.
So you just go on nine holes.
Yeah, nine hole, like three,
and
par
what,
three.
It
and
takes
what are you
forever.
And what are you shooting?
Par three, I'm shooting about, I would say 50.
50 on a par three. Ooh, that's bad.
That's
terrible. That is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not hitting.
It's basically
greens,
double,
I'll tell
you that right?
Much.
Like
well, yeah.
Par three should be. You
par
know,
three, that's what's 36? Let's see. What's three times 18? 18 is
54.
What?
54?
No,
36, right? No, 46. 18. Yeah, whatever.
No, so you're
not
shooting 50.
Well,
you're not shooting 50 on a par three.
Oh, yeah, no, I am.
You're more like
Michael.
70.
I truly am.
No, he's shooting 50 on a par three on nine holes, Mike.
Nine holes.
That's right. I was thinking 18 holes. Right.
Yeah.
So part that's 27. So you're 50. Ooh, yeah. That's double.
But this event is nine real holes
right.
at Black Gold, which means I'm gonna.
So
need
that's 36. Rank. You got to shoot a 36 as par. So you need to shoot what to beat Ireland?
I think I need to shoot. It's 26 strokes, right?
Oh yeah.
Ireland's
that's
giving
a huge,
me 26.
That's
strokes.
Amazing. He's giving you 26.
Let's say Ireland is going to shoot a. 47,
because I mean, if you're going to shoot a 62, if you shoot, say, 26 more, that's so he's got to, let's say, 5. Yeah, you'll beat him. You'll beat him. He's got to shoot, he needs to shoot like a 42.
A 42, exactly. I need Ireland to play bad and have an off day. That's what I really need. But you know what Ireland is? He's like, he's Mr. Competitive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He is going to bring his A game to this thing because the last thing he wants to do is lose to Mason.
Oh, yeah.
And if I was a betting man, I would put it all on Ireland.
I don't know.
I would put it all on John. Michael, it's World Chess Day. Have you ever played chess?
You know, I've always wanted to learn because my boys are really good at chess. Clay is really into it. Michael can play. Michael learned how to play when he's like 5 years old. They taught it in his preschool or in his kindergarten school. Trace doesn't really play, but Clay is a chess addict. And I've always
really?
Wanted to learn. Yeah, oh, yeah, he loves chess. I've always wanted to learn. I don't know why I haven't learned yet because it looks interesting. Everyone in my house can play it except me.
Yeah, that's
it's
weird.
It's not that
man.
Hard to learn. It's not like you just have to, okay.
It's hard to play
move.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
hard to play
hard
well.
To play well. Yeah.
Did you didn't watch that show about chess, that Queen's Gambit show?
No.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Oh,
yeah.
It was such a good show.
Do you play chess, Migs?
You know, I did when I was a little kid, so that's probably.
Well, do you remember how to play?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I remember. Once you learn it, I think you're good. You know, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, maybe 10 years old, and my dad taught me chess. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a insanely competitive guy. That's where I get it. So my dad, instead of like, letting me win a little bit or letting me make some progress or feeling better about my game, my dad just kicked my ass every time.
Good. That's what we've been missing in parenting now.
Until at about 13, I started beating him.
Oh.
I started kicking the snot out of my dad in chess, and he never won again.
Wow.
Once I beat him, once I figured out the game, once I nailed it, my dad was done for. And because he never gave me any mercy, I never gave him any mercy. Yeah. Was your house, I mean, you've got professional athletes in your house. Were they wildly competitive?
Oh, yeah. Was my boys growing up, yeah, they definitely competed. And when I played, when I used to pitch to them batting practice, I never used to groove anything in their form when they were little kids. I say, no, you got to hit this. Because, you know, this participation trophy crap doesn't work in real life. You gotta tell your teach your kids, just like your father taught you, it's about winning early. It's about win or lose. It's no take no prisoners, so to speak. Instead of, oh, let him win, be nice. No, that's not real life. You got to go out there and you got to compete.
I've got no problem, by the way, with competition ribbons.
Really?
Yeah, no
problem.
I hate
that crap.
It's okay to let a little kid feel good about himself. Why do you not want a little kid to feel
because
good about himself?
Because you tell him it's okay. Winning and losing hurts. It's supposed to hurt. The main thing is if you try your hardest. That's what life is all about, trying your hardest and not quitting.
Yeah,
you're not going to always win. Everything isn't going to always work out well for you. But you can't quit. You can't give up.
But for the kids that never win, don't destroy their self-esteem.
They could do something else. Maybe they're good in music. Maybe they're good in school. But not everybody's going to be Kobe Bryant. Not everybody's going to be Bryce Harper.
Michael, I got a parenting question for you. Oh. So at what age do I start riding Daniel? Like, what age do I
like
start?
Like, really pushing him?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
Right? He's going to be 3 in October.
Well, yeah, way too soon. So I would say by the time he's 8, by that time the kids will know what they want to play, what they like to play.
Okay.
And you got to tell him, you know, you don't. Obviously, you don't go Bobby Knight on him. You know what
no.
I mean? But you gotta talk to him sternly and say, now, look, if you're going to play this, if you start crying because you're losing and not doing well, it's okay to feel bad, but don't be crying. Be tough.
Yeah.
Be tough. You know, be a young man or be a young woman.
Momo, what if your young Daniel says to you, you know what I want to play is football? What would you say?
I think I let him play, like, flag football for a while, but I don't know if I'm going to do I want him, if he wants to play tackle football, I want him to be a little older because I don't like the CTE stuff.
But are you okay with tackle? If he says football's my thing and he gets to high school, he's like, I'm playing football. This is going to be my life. Are you okay with that?
I don't know.
I discouraged my boys from playing it, even though they love football and they were really good at it.
You know, I know.
And the reason why I told them not to play football, Steve, because if you've got a young boy out there and they want to play football, if that's what they have a passion for,
and
if they want to see how far they can go in it, do it. But I knew my boys didn't want to play college football, and obviously we're not thinking about the NFL.
Yeah.
So I said, if you're not going to be a college football player, if that's not your goal, then don't play in high school because all you're doing is beating your body up.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Michael Thompson's hanging out. I always love when that happens. Last night, couple of interesting stories. One of them involves Padres pitcher Blake Snell. Who was throwing a great game last night, a no-hitter, and basically agreed with manager Jace Tingler that he needed to come out of the game after 7 innings. Let's get into that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.